Now on Tucson Business Radio X, Heather Wilpert from the Tucson Metro Chamber and her guests for The Business Of.
Welcome to The Business Of. We're streaming live from Tucson Business Radio X studio inside Stort Title Building on Broadway Boulevard in Tucson, Arizona. Today's theme is the business of giving. It just so happens that today is hashtag Giving Tuesday. That was a pure accident, but I love that that's working out. And our special guests include Kate McGuire Jensen, the president and CEO of Ronald McDonald House, Charities of Southern Arizona. Hello.
Hi, so happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here with us. As well as Andy Heineman, CEO of Tucson Values Teachers.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And David Simpson, the COO of Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Southern Arizona.
Absolutely. Thanks, Heather, for having me.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Our pleasure. Accompanied here is our Vice President at Tucson Metro Chamber, Michael Guyman.
Well, hello, everyone. How are we doing today?
Great.
Doing absolutely. Great.
Have you all been giving today since it's Giving Tuesday?
Always.
Yeah.
To my own organization and a few others.
That's right.
Good. That's great. So believe it or not, nonprofits in Arizona are the sixth employer in the state of Arizona, nonprofits. That's a big number. And of the Tucson Metro Chamber members, it's about 18%. So it's big business. It's a huge population of businesses that are nonprofit. Let's get started today by having each of you just tell me a little bit about the history of your organization. So if people aren't already familiar, they learn a little bit about. Do you want to start, Andy?
Be happy to. Well, Tucson Values Teachers was founded in 2008 as an education initiative of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. And that's a business membership organization of more than 140 local businesses and presidents and CEOs. Well, back then, together with leaders in education and including district superintendents in the University of Arizona and various philanthropic organizations, the Southern Arizona Leadership Council established TVT as an education and business partnership to address the issues of the teacher workforce at the time, and they wanted to positively impact the quality of the region's education system. And we're the only nonprofit in the state of Arizona that I know of that directly supports teachers.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. And at the same time, somewhat sad that there aren't more in a way supporting the teachers. That's so necessary. But we're glad that you stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely, Heather. And so Big Brothers Big Sisters of Southern Arizona started in Tucson back in 1963. And so next year it'd be 57 years.
Wow.
Yeah, exciting, right? And so we're actually part of a bigger organization, Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. We're an affiliate of theirs, and they started over 100 years ago. And so when you think about 100 years of mentoring, that's really awesome. 100 years of individuals that have dedicated given their life, their time, their energy to mentoring a young person. And so we're very fortunate that we have this program here in Tucson, and the Tucson community has continued to support the work that we do. And 100 years more.
Yes.
I would probably not be around, but 100 years
more. You never know.
Right?
Medical sciences.
David, real quick, I'm just curious. It started 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Do you know the impetus behind why it was created at that time? I mean, what was sort of the issue that made people say, hey, we need to have this organization for folks to mentor young kids?
Yeah, great point. And I would say even back then, the idea was giving someone one-on-one attention and giving an individual the opportunity to shadow, spend time, build a close relationship, even back then became really important, right? Mm-hmm. At every level. I mean, you guys know this. Ironically, even if you're not a member or a mentor in our program, everybody in some form of fashion has been mentored.
Right.
So even back then, Big Brothers Big Sisters has been leading the work when it comes to what mentoring, the effect it really has on everyone at some level. Mm-hmm. And while it might look different for some people, there's always something we can be doing to make sure a young person or an individual can get from point A to point B with the support they need.
That's great.
And so, yeah.
I love that. Kate, tell us about your organization.
Yeah, the history of Ronald McDonald House Charities is actually pretty cool. It's a really good example of what can happen when a couple of people get together and, mm-hmm. and make some change. It started in Philadelphia in 1971, and there was a football player with the Philadelphia Eagles who had a child who had cancer. And at that time, if you think about it, there weren't children's hospitals, really. Right. And so parents from out of town were sleeping in the hallway, sleeping yeah. in their cars. And fortunately, his daughter got better. And when he went back to his team, he said, come on, we got to do something about this. So they partnered with the Eagles, had friends with McDonald's and at the hospital, and they built the first Ronald McDonald House. And they thought they were solving a need in one community.
Right.
And now there are, 375 houses around the world.
That's wonderful. Yeah. There's one at the Vatican or something like that?
There are two in Rome. There's not one at the Vatican, but there are two.
I thought I read that on your website.
No, there are two in Rome, yeah. Mm. But so now Ronald McDonald House Charities has three core programs. The one that people know the most, of course, is the Ronald McDonald House. Mm-hmm. And that is our signature program. But there are two others. One is Ronald McDonald Family Rooms. We have one in Tucson mm-hmm. at Banner Diamond Children's. It's kind of an extension of the house. It's a place for families with hospitalized kids to rest and regroup. And we also have a program called Ronald McDonald Caremobiles, which is very cool. There are about 50 of them in the country. We just started the first one in Arizona this spring. And it's a mobile unit designed to take either primary care or dental care to kids in underserved
right.
areas.
I love that.
So, yeah, it's a really wonderful organization. I'm proud to be part of it.
And it's interesting that since it began in 1974, that I saw that Tucson, it was the 21st.
Right.
And
yeah.
so that's pretty early on as far as if there are 300 of them now. Why was Tucson at the cutting edge of them all?
Well, you know, it's if you live in Tucson, you know about Angel Charity for Children.
True.
Angel Charity for Children actually got started. It was a similar story to the one in Philadelphia. The woman who started Angel Charity had a child with cancer and saw what was going on in the hospitals here. She started this big fundraising enterprise in order to start a Ronald McDonald House.
Oh, okay.
So we started here in 1984, actually, well before Phoenix. And so
we always like to hear
we
that.
We like to be ahead. Yeah. So,
we've always been more charitable than Phoenix.
We're just Absolutely. Better all around. Anyway, David, let's go back to you for a little bit because I was reading about some of your programs and a few that I found so interesting were the Mentor 2.0. Mm-hmm. I love that idea. Even the Big Couple. Mm-hmm. And so tell mm-hmm. us more about some of your how people can be involved.
Absolutely. And so the Mentor 2.0 program we're really excited about. We are on year four of that program. And so this is how this happened. In the state of Arizona, for every one counselor, there's 902 students, right? If you take the state of Arizona. So what that tells you is there is very little support or guidance that our students are getting on a day-to-day basis when it comes to preparing them for life after high school.
Right.
Marie Logan, our CEO, decided she and the board wanted to find a way to help narrow that gap here in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And that's what Mentor 2.0 is. It is us working directly with our school partners, which is Amphi High School, a part of the Amphi School District, and also City High. And we're pairing up these students as early as ninth grade with a mentor who have been to college, who have experience as managers in the workforce field,
right.
and they are paired up with them for the duration of their high school career.
Right. I love that. Mm-hmm.
So, David, this is specific to workforce because, you know, one of the things that we are working out of the chamber relates to getting kids in middle school and in high school knowledgeable of the career tracks that exist. Mm-hmm. And not all of those career tracks require a four-year degree.
Absolutely.
Many of them, you can have a great career after getting a certificate or some sort of accreditation through Pima Community College, other colleges. I mean, there's a lot of great careers out there. So is that mentorship solely focused on workforce, or are there other things that are involved in that mentor process?
Great question. So really what we're trying to do is it's a college readiness program, but it's bigger than that. We're trying to make sure that when the students graduate, they have a plan for the future. That might be college, that might be military, that might be CTE, that might be helping them secure certification mm-hmm. in a specific career field.
Right.
And we start that process as early as ninth grade, right? Building up their idea of what intangibly they'll need, study habits, self-awareness, leadership skills. We spend a lot of time on those soft skills ninth and 10th grade year. And then by the time they become juniors and seniors, hey guys, now it's time to start digging into what do you really want to do, right? And the mentors can stay matched with them even after high school. So you're absolutely right. What we've learned about that program is to assume every kid is going to go to college is crazy. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
To us, now, granted, our parents told us we had to, right? I was born in the 80s. They didn't really tell me what I needed to do. They just said, duh, you go to college. Right. And now that I'm in debt, it's like, But when you know better, you do better. So what we're trying to do is not tell kids you got to go to college, but you do need to have a plan.
Right.
Because our generation is going to be, while the most probably educated, also the poorest, right? So what we're trying to do is avert making sure the students know, walk away with a plan. If you have college, how do we help you pay for it? How do we get you where you need to be?
I think that's great. And I think the term now is make sure that you have a post-secondary experience, right?
Absolutely.
Whether that's, like I said, at the community college level, at a training school, at a university, as long as you have some sort of post-secondary experience and accreditation or degree,
absolutely.
That's where the push is to really broaden that. Because, like I think we all recognize, there are great careers that you can have and you can have throughout your entire life without a four-year degree or a graduate degree or a PhD.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of different degrees out there. We are involved with the – and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to take this too far away. But I think this is a very interesting topic, especially since it's one of the priorities of the chamber right now. We're working with an organization, Center for the Future of Arizona, mm-hmm. and they are very they're very involved in a program called Pathways to Prosperity.
Yes,
really gets to what you're talking about, making Absolutely. Sure that there are those pathways identified in the middle and high school level. So I think this is great work.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a very intentional program, right? Very intentional, where we outline for the student, where do they want to go? How do we help them get there? Mm-hmm. And they get that support one-on-one.
Yeah, perfect. I love that idea. Cool. That's great. And Andy, with the Tucson Values Teachers, I saw that you actually won an award from Raytheon.
Well, we have the Raytheon Leaders in Education Awards that we give out to teachers.
Oh, tell us more about
that. And we just had our huge Stand Up for Teachers event on November 7th at Lowe's Ventana Canyon. And that's an event we hold either annually or every other year. And basically, it's to recognize teachers and business. So mm-hmm. this year, we gave out the Spirit of Education Award to two businesses, Pima Federal Credit Union and Freeport Mac Moran, who both have been very, very supportive of teachers and education in the community. And then at that same event, we recognized three high-quality teachers. And this is an extensive process that these teachers have to apply for. And it's an application process, and it's reviewed by the committee. And so these teachers were selected, three, and they received $2,500 apiece.
That's
and
huge.
Also $2,500 for their school.
Fantastic.
And then there are nine finalists that also received gift awards, and they're recognized. And it's all about making sure that we recognize teachers for the quality work they do in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Because exactly. Mm-hmm.
We're short teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the statistic recently is still in the state of Arizona, we're short over 1,400 teachers, and that impacts kids, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
Sure does.
And so we all know a quality teacher in the classroom, an effective teacher in the classroom is the number one correlate for increasing student achievement.
Right.
It's the professional expertise of the teacher.
That's great. And I also saw that you have the program to make it a little bit easier for the teachers with the teacher discount card. And that was great to see all the different businesses and organizations who have contributed to that. So,
well, and that's the beauty of Tucson Values Teachers mm-hmm. is that our organization partners with business. And we do that to attract, retain, and support teachers in Tucson and Southern Arizona. Mm-hmm. And so the discount card is just one way a business can participate. Uh-huh. Right. And then we also have sponsorships at events and so on. But that way you can give teachers a 15-20% discount on a service that you're providing locally.
That's great.
Awesome.
And I saw some of the events that you put on at Ronald McDonald House, so the house party.
Yeah, that's a blast.
Yeah, tell us more about that.
We have often done a wine and cheese kind of event other places, and about 5 years ago we decided, hey, we have a house. Why don't we move the event back to the house? And it's been hugely successful. We just
there were 750 people.
Yeah, it was really awesome. Yeah. And the theme is sort of red shoes, you know, after Ronald McDonald. But it's just a great
the big
party.
Ones, big red
yeah,
shoes.
But not everybody wears big red ones. We had a red shoe fashion show this year.
Oh,
it was
fun.
Really.
Brilliant.
Quite exciting. But the thing is, it really connects people with our organization because they get to see the house and they get to understand, you know, where the families live and all the services that we provide. Over the last couple of years, we've done a lot of remodeling. And so people who've even been to the house a couple of times get to see, oh, they're new rooms. So last year, we added a healing garden because we realized that.
That's a great idea.
You know, families, when you're under stress, sometimes you need some space outside to just take a deep breath.
Nature's always healing.
Nature is healing. And so it's a beautiful garden. You know, it's got a little bit of a fountain and a walking path and light so you can go out there at night.
Nice.
And so the people who come to the Ronald McDonald House Party, they love to come see the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really been very successful for us.
And that's once a year?
That's once a year,
okay.
September.
All right, great. I saw something that both Ronald McDonald House and Big Brothers and Big Sisters has in common as far as events or fundraising, rather, is you're both connected with El Tour.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about what people can do if they know, say, next year they plan to ride El Tour.
Absolutely. Do you want to start?
No, you go
ahead.
Perfect.
Yeah, we're really excited about this because every year the amount of riders that we get for our organization continues to increase.
Mm-hmm.
And so even our staff are involved and they engage. I got to be honest, I keep telling my stuff I'm going to ride. And I act like I'm having surgery right up to the doctor. Right? I got to do better. But it's like 25 miles, 50 miles, 100 miles. The point is, it's exciting. It's great. We're continuing to get more and more of those in the community who are willing to ride for Big Brother. So we encourage anyone who and the good thing about this is that there are people out there rooting you on. It's for a good cause. Our youth are involved. And so next year, the process will continue to start again. Those of us who don't like to ride but want a situation where they could practice, we set those up as well with our organization where they can come and practice. Our staff are out there with you to support you, get you in a rhythm.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, right. And so we do those things on a weekend, bi-weekly basis to make sure that individuals who have decided to ride for us or raise and help raise awareness for our organization don't feel as if they have to do that by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, really great opportunity.
Is it similar with
we
you?
We did a team for the first time this year,
okay.
And it was a blast. It was very successful. We had about 25 riders for the first time.
That's
we had
great.
One of our staff who hadn't really ridden a bike since she was about 10.
Oh, wow.
And now she's making us all look bad. But it was it was really a good event, and we were happy also to support the El Tour because
sure.
It's a great Tucson event. We're hoping to expand it not only with our own team but with the other Ronald McDonald House chapters, because one of our national partners is Southwest Airlines. We feel like we could package something so
that's
riders from Chicago
idea.
And Minnesota and New York could come out to the El Tour. So it's good for Ronald McDonald House Charities, and it's good for the El Tour.
I rode El Tour de Tucson when I was 13. I did the full 108 miles.
Wow.
It's back when it started and stopped at El Conquistador, and I think I'm glad I did that because now I can say, oh, I did it when I was 13.
You don't have to do it again.
I don't need to do it again. So, David, I'm kind of with you.
I appreciate about myself.
Maybe I need to join a team.
Yeah, join
if
a
I do
team.
It again, I
yeah.
just need to
yeah.
join a team.
Let's all
Absolutely.
Do it together.
I've already committed to next year. And
yes.
I did the 56 3 years ago.
That's amazing.
And it went so much better than I anticipated
really?
It would. So, and I actually did so well that my husband and children were still at home because they thought I'd be another hour.
So you're doing it next year already.
I am. I committed verbally to friends.
Okay, so
my word is good. So
we're going to fight over whose team you join.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, maybe we'll start our own at Tucson Metro Chamber.
Yeah, maybe.
The Chamber Cycle.
I'm going to have surgery that year.
Oh, right.
But good luck. Right.
That's funny. So tell us just in general a little bit more about it. If someone is listening, whether they are local or not, How can they help? How can they get involved? Do you want to...
Well, every organization has lots of opportunities to get involved. We have so many volunteer opportunities, and that's really a nice thing for people to do, to get really involved in the organization. You know, we all exist on fundraising. I don't know what your ratios are, but we have only 5% of our funding that comes in from government. Right. We bill Medicaid. And the rest of it we raise all year long, every single year. And, you know, talk about a generous community. Tucson is amazing. And, you know, we're all out there asking for money because it's what we do to support the mission that we have.
And I like it when there are interesting ways that you do fundraising. For example, I've done the bowling that you do with Big Brothers Big Sisters. I did not do it this past year, but I did it the two consecutive years. One team spirit both years in a row.
You did.
No, that's right. That's nice.
You don't know me well, but yes. I,
absolutely.
I for Big Hair Don't Care when I was on Michelle's team, and then I had my own team the next year where all of us dressed as the Big Lebowski.
Oh, awesome.
And,
awesome.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. With beards and all. It was I was very attractive.
Great. And we have that event coming again in March.
Oh, good.
Both for kids' sake, and it's going to be a Harry Potter thing.
Okay.
And so go to our website. The information is posted. The time is upcoming. It's here.
And can any age do that? Because I would think with Harry Potter that you'd get younger people. Or do you want just older people? Or is
No. I mean, if we have younger people who would like to bowl, they'll be there with an adult, obviously, right? And so we can make sure that if we have a young person who would like to be a part of this experience, we still encourage you to come and we'll get you set up. But it's really not about bowling, right? One thing we tell people all the time is if you can't bowl, that's not the environment.
It makes it more fun if you don't bowl well, actually.
Right, really? Because nobody's out there really being serious, right? So, no, it's just a great experience for
sure. We'll put the bumpers up for you.
Thank you.
Right, yeah. That's great.
And I loved how the Girl Scouts always does the rappelling off the 17-story.
51.
Yeah. I did that a few years ago, too.
You are brave.
You are out.
So do any of you have some creative ideas you have for fundraising that maybe have or haven't come to fruition yet?
Well, at Tucson Values Teachers, we always talk about let's be a champion for teachers all the time.
Right.
And so we know the value of teachers. We know the value of education. And so you can take the pledge on our webpage and participate that way. You know, we created a documentary that followed the lives of three teachers throughout the course of almost a year. And two elementary teachers and a high school teacher. And it basically is about 26 minutes. It's an award-winning documentary. It's won a number of awards in the state of Arizona. And it really portrays the challenges of a teacher and what they go through, and then also the successes of teaching and what they go through. So the funds we raise allow us to establish a public relations campaign and really bring awareness to the community of, number one, the importance of great teachers in the classroom, right? And number two, some of the challenges that they really do face.
Right. Now, how can we find this documentary?
Well, it's right on our webpage, TucsonValuesTeachers.org.
Fantastic.
And definitely can see it there. And I'd encourage everybody to take the pledge because, you know, teachers are a vital piece of our community. And let me just share this. As a former teacher and a former principal, I know what it's like to be in the classroom. I know what it's like to have great teachers in the classroom. But I am amazed at how businesses in Tucson and Southern Arizona have just embraced our organization and other organizations, other nonprofits. Tucson is a very giving community.
So I have a question that kind of follows up on that because, Kate, you talked about how 5% of your funding is from government. So I'm curious, what do you know the breakdown of the other 95% between corporate and individual?
Yeah, sure. Most of our funding comes from individuals. And, you know, if you think about it, even corporate funding is really decisions made by individuals. But at least in Tucson, we don't have a lot of huge national businesses that are headquartered here. So most of our funding comes from individuals. I was going to share with you, I've got kind of a nice reverse fundraising story. Mm-hmm. When I started this job at the Ronald McDonald House a couple of years ago, we used to charge families $15 a night to stay. And our national charter is you would never turn anyone away if they couldn't sure. pay it. But when I looked at how much money was coming in, it was really not very much money. It equated to about, you know, 5 to 10% of the families who were staying mm-hmm. could pay the $15. And I thought, who wants to stand at the front desk and say, I don't have $30?
Right.
And so I went to the board and said, what would you think about waiving this fee? My intent was, you know, was not fundraising. It was really to better meet the needs of the families. And they, you know, the board said, absolutely, get rid of it. And let's just let them stay. Mm-hmm. Well, in the 12 months that followed, and this has continued, the amount of money we receive in donations from our guest families has gone up by 60%.
Interesting.
And so families have the joy of making a gift
right.
instead of the who, what's so fun about paying a bill. And it's been really gratifying to me because it's a better experience for the guest family and it's been better for the organization.
Bravo.
That's sweet.
That's
yeah.
great. I love that story. And tell us a little bit more about just experiences that people have had. You talked about the documentary, but tell us maybe some more stories about students or parents raving about
sure.
a teacher. Or
well, I was going to talk about how the documentary has kind of catapulted one of the teachers in that they were a finalist for the Arizona Teacher of the Year mm-hmm. and really gotten great exposure. You know, Tucson Electric Power has been an amazing sponsor.
Good.
And they really assist with our gift cards that we give out at the beginning of the school year. We have an annual supply drive for teachers, like many supply drives occur. But ours is different in that we give teachers actual $50 gift cards that they can spend as they choose at Office Max, Office Depot, mm-hmm. and for the supplies they need. But it's that kind of partnership with the businesses locally that really help catapult teachers. And I'll never forget when I was a principal and a teacher received a gift card in the mail, they ran down to my office and waved the gift card and said, can you believe I have $50 to spend on supplies? Now, to many people, they might not think that's a lot of money, but, you know, teachers spend a lot of money out of their own pocket to take care of their kids in their classroom. And so basically, this teacher, the excitement in their eyes and just allowing them to go purchase what they needed was gratifying.
That's wonderful. And I know personally some Big Brothers Big Sisters stories from what my friends have experienced, but tell us some of your favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to think of one, Heather, we have a young man who started our program at 8 years old. He was taken away from his family for different reasons, and mm-hmm. he was put in foster care, and we found him a Big Brother. And he's been with that Big Brother now for 11 years.
Wow.
That young man has now graduated from high school. He has a job. But most importantly, he has a relationship and a friendship with an individual that will be lifelong.
Right.
And so when I came to Big Brothers, I was fortunate to support that match. One of the things that I'm really excited about with this organization is every match we have is supported by one of our match support specialists. Mm-hmm. There's not a situation where we throw them out in the community and say, have at it. There's a lot of safety and training and
right.
really purposeful interaction we have with our staff and the volunteer, the mm-hmm. parent guardian. And so to look at that match and to see how it's grown, to see that young man now be older and talk how his big brother, you know, helped save his life, right? He
right.
needed a lot of direction, a lot of guidance, somebody to be in his corner to say that they believe in him. And so that's huge, right? I was fortunate. I had a mother and a father.
Right.
Not everybody has that. And so anytime somebody's ready to donate so much time and energy and concern for another individual is always great.
Well, I saw also that not only is it individuals, but couples can be involved.
Absolutely.
As well.
So let's say you have a husband. You're married, Heather, right? Mm-hmm. So for example. And it's funny because with our big couple program, oftentimes a wife might say, I want to do this. And husband like, I don't know. And the husband like, I think I want to do it. And the wife say, I don't know. Normally it's the wife saying, I want to do it, right? and the husband says, yeah, well, how about we do it together? But we have a program like that, where the couple can actually engage and support, and you still get, you know, one child,
right?
And have that same exact impact, right? Because what happens is sometimes somebody like, why would a mother want to introduce another woman to her, you know, into their child's life? You know, that's weird, but it's not like that at all, right? We're not there to replace the parent. What the big couple program, just like the rest of our program, is adding that support structure and more, continuing to add to the value and the success of that child, building that base.
Right.
And so the big couple program works very similar. You get well trained. We interview the both spouses, find out what their strengths are. You guys will tell us what child you're looking for as far as what you believe is your best fit. We'll find you someone and start building that relationship right away. And so it's a great way for the couple to get stronger together. It's a great way for them to spend time together. And our big couples have said, because a lot of them have been matched a really long time, we have received a lot out of this program.
Right?
Not just the child, but them themselves, right? Great experience.
And generally speaking, are they a couple who has had kids where the kids are out of the house now, but they still want to influence someone? Or is it where maybe they never did have children?
Actually, a little bit of all of that. We have big couples who have children. We have big couples who children have graduated and they're like, we want to continue to find a way to help and get back to the community. Or we have big couples who have never had children and they have the time and the resources to help mentor a child. And so I would encourage anyone that's thinking about it, at least come to the office or give us a call and let us spend time with you and explain it to you. Don't think, oh, that's just too much. You'll be surprised how quickly you can make a huge impact in a small amount of time.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And the kids, like you said, sometimes they do have both parents, sometimes they don't. And regardless of the situation, it still is great to have another adult in your life who is just going to, you know, broaden your horizons about maybe things that your own parents want to be interested in or something like that. So it's a win-win. It's not
Absolutely.
Like you're doing any replacement.
Absolutely.
It's just embellishing influences positively.
It's funny how children will listen to others other than their parents.
What do you mean?
Yeah, that never happens, right?
Absolutely. And mothers will say that. They will say, I just need somebody to get to my daughter because she's not listening to me.
Right.
I just cannot reach her.
Exactly.
And it's not a jealous type thing, right? Because the way the program is set up is the parent going in is highly engaged and a part of their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Or one of my friends who's a single mom with a boy and a girl, she has a big brother for the son because she is a single mom. And so she wants him to have that opportunity. And he's flourishing with
Absolutely.
It because she's not going to go roll around in the dirt with him, but this guy will.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah. And if the mom did, we'd be like, something's wrong with the mom. Right? She should be rolling in the dirt. So, but with this program, they could do that. With this program, they could do that. We got bigs that might want to roll in the dirt.
So. I think moms can roll in the dirt.
Yeah, right?
No,
I'm thinking of my wife, maybe. I don't know if she'll roll in the dirt.
I was just making
Yeah, you're fine. I'm just messing with you.
That's great.
For the business of.
Tell us a little bit about maybe a personal experience.
Sure. You know, for any parent, your biggest worry or your worst nightmare is having a really sick kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all know it happens. And the thing about the Ronald McDonald House is it's provides some solace for those families. Mm-hmm. We had a family last year, a single mom and a teenage daughter. They were from that Payson area, so rural Arizona. And the young woman was, you know, 15 and super healthy and, you know, smart kid, honor roll kid, cheerleader, drama club, and then was diagnosed with this very rare immune disorder. Had to be treated like cancer, so she needed to be in Tucson and had a bone marrow transplant and had all the complications that you could possibly get with a bone marrow transplant. Mom was a single mom. Her husband had died a few years earlier. So the mom had to give up her job in Payson and to stay at the Ronald McDonald House. Anyway, they were here. They stayed with us for 183 days. And if you just think about what that would have cost, I mean, I don't know too many families who can afford to pay for hotels for 7 months. Yeah. The other thing about the Ronald McDonald House is when people are staying there, you have home-cooked meals every day. We have volunteers that come in and cook. You have a supportive community. There are staff and volunteers and other families who know what you're going through. And even if you could afford to stay in a hotel, it's so isolating. Right. So at the Ronald McDonald House, you come home and people care about you. And they ask how your daughter is and wonderful. How your day was. And when this mom went home, she said to me, Kate, if it weren't for the Ronald McDonald House, we wouldn't have a home to go to.
Wow.
We would have lost everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy to report that this young woman has done great. And in fact, we brought them back. They were our host family for the Red Shoe House party.
Good.
And, you know, she gets to be a senior in high school and gets to be a normal kid again.
Wow.
But they went through hell last year, and you wouldn't wish that on anyone. Mm-hmm. But I was so proud that we were there to support them.
Yeah, thank goodness. And so since we are from the Tucson Metro Chamber, we are very much about, you know, helping businesses thrive and I'm losing my train of thought. Help me here.
And helping the community prosper. Is that where you're
all
going?
All that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so do you find that generally Tucson is philanthropic, or are there times of years where you do have dips, and is there a way you can help balance out the dips? What do you find?
I think most organizations, you guys jump in if I'm wrong, most organizations layer the type of fundraising that you do so that you cover all of the bases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you do a lot of grant writing. You do a little bit of special event. You do direct appeal. You do, you know, working through the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for us, it all balances out. It's never a lot of something. It's a lot of everything.
Right.
We try not to be very event heavy. We've really worked to move away from relying on events because, you know, we all know they're fun to go to, but they really take a lot of time to put together.
They do.
And it's not sustainable for a small organization like ours to be putting on a lot of events.
Mm-hmm.
We try only to do events if they have other reasons.
Okay.
They need to have another reason to be there. That's why we move the event to the house. So when people are there, they're not just having a glass of wine and dancing and having fun. They're connecting with our mission.
And how many people do you employ?
We have only 8 full-time people.
Oh, okay. I figured it would be more.
No, 8 full-time and 6 part-time people.
Okay. And big brothers, big sisters?
Same. We have 15 total.
Okay.
Two of those are part-time.
All right.
Two of those are part-time.
Well, time to grow Tucson Values Teachers. It's myself and my chief operating officer, Katie Rogerson, 2 of us.
Wow.
And so we run the programs and the organization, and we've got a very, very supportive board, but at this time it's just 2.
Right. And as far as the boards for each of your organizations, how often are you looking for new board members? What does that entail?
We refresh our board every year. We have 3-year terms, and people could stay on for 2 terms. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like all boards, we try to keep it balanced with people from various parts of the community and different industry. We have people on our board who provide free services to us, like legal services and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a terrific board, just a terrific board, and they're very engaged and generous and, you know, play the right role. So we're really lucky. I think best practices for board members to rotate.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that board members stayed on a long time, and that really is not best practice anymore.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would just second that. We have a really good board, I would just add that we're always looking for individuals who want to make it their mission to continue to serve youth in the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a junior board as well, right?
Oh.
So if you are a young professional and you're looking for something that has a little bit less of a commitment as actual being on the board of directors,
it's a great opportunity,
right, to kind of ease your way into that. What does it look like to build a relationship, speak on behalf of the organization? So we're really excited about that. Our junior board is close to 15 right now. So a lot of young professionals that are excited and have been with us for a while, and we're looking to continue to grow that.
Mm-hmm. We started one as well.
Oh, awesome. Year
and
that's
ahead.
Great.
It's really a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's,
absolutely.
As you said, young professionals who are learning what it's like to serve on a board, what the responsibilities are. Mm-hmm. We also offer them some professional development and mentoring with our board members. And mm-hmm. they're starting to be a little fundraising machine in their own right.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
it's very cool.
I'm amazed at the number of people that are on multiple boards.
Uh-huh.
Through my experience in meeting with people, they're on, you know, various boards. And at Tucson Values Teachers, we've got principals, teachers, superintendents, and then business leaders to kind of expand the board. And we all are always looking for new board members. And again, we have 3-year terms. And so we want a good mix to really support mm-hmm. our mission and vision.
That's how we are at the Chamber, too. It's a very diverse board, and we're just making a very conscious effort to have, you know, different ages, different professions, different political stances, different. I mean, it's very diverse. And so I think it makes a difference.
You bet.
And we like having people with new ideas and
innovative.
Exactly. Great word. Great word. Is there anything else you want to?
On the business, we're sort of on the business of nonprofits, which I guess the more appropriate term is not for profit, because at the end of the day, you're still a business. You need to meet payroll. Mm-hmm. You need to look at revenue streams, how they match up with expenses. You're delivering a product, right? I mean, It's mainly in your case more of in the form of service, mm-hmm. But it's still a product and a value mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. you're delivering to individuals in this community.
I like that word, Tucson Values Teachers. Value. Right?
Yeah,
it is a value.
I may have specifically mentioned that, Andy.
I heard someone in the nonprofit community stand up a while ago and say, we really should rename ourselves because no other organization names itself with what they're not, right?
And it's so true.
And to your point, Michael, the thought when you talk about being a not-for-profit, some people get the idea that you don't need money,
right.
And clearly you do.
You need money.
So this individual was saying we ought to call ourselves, you know, social impact organizations or something that speaks to the nature of the work instead of what we're not.
Well, and you certainly hear some of that. I mean, you refer to some organizations as charitable organizations, right? Which is a little bit different from the Chamber. The Chamber is a not-for-profit. We're a 501c6, so we're different in a lot of different ways, but we are still under that sort of non-for-profit model. But the question I wanted to ask, and you know, you all can take turns answering this. You know, here in Tucson, we have I believe the number is about 2,700 nonprofits, and a lot of people say that we have the highest number of nonprofits per capita in the U.S., or at least in the Southwest. And then that then generates the, oh, well, geez, you know, there's so many nonprofits. They're competing, especially in a community like Tucson, where we're 1 million people, sometimes for that same dollar, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm interested in your thoughts on is that a good thing that we have a lot of nonprofits? I used to kind of make the statement, which I don't anymore because it's not a very nice statement. It's more of a cynical statement. But the statement was, boy, if I had a great idea, I'm just going to start a nonprofit instead of going to a nonprofit that may have a similar mission and, you know, try to work with that nonprofit. I'm just going to start my own nonprofit. But that then sets up the situation where you have some of these groups that have very similar missions that are competing for that same dollar. So I'm interested in your thoughts on, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah.
Well, when you speak about nonprofits acting and operating like businesses, I think that's more true now than ever because of the fact that there are so many of them. I think almost all nonprofits work the way businesses do, where they look at what's the need in the community? Are we the best ones to meet it? is this a model that's sustainable? It's the same kind of questions that a business would ask mm-hmm. itself. Sure. So I don't think that there's a huge difference anymore between the way our organizations operate in the nonprofit and the for-profit. I also find, and I'm sort of new in this industry, I've been in nonprofit work only for 3.5 years, although I've worked on boards and such for a long time. I find that there's a great cooperation among nonprofits. We work with a whole bunch of nonprofits that help kids and families, and there's really a great spirit of cooperation. You know, you're right that we're all sort of competing for the same dollars, but we operate from a place of abundance that, you know what, there is enough to go around. And to me, when you adopt that attitude, it works.
And I would just add to what Kate said is, so it is a lot of nonprofits and we do compete for the same dollars, but the mentality is what's important. Organizations in Tucson specifically will need to continue to figure out how can we work together to better serve the greater good, right? Mm-hmm. If I know I specialize in something specific because of my mission, and I know there's another organization that does it a little bit differently and there's a way for us to partner and is going to get that child, for example, closer to the mark.
Sure.
Then how do we make that happen, right? How do we come to the table with open minds to find the best way to drive that home? And so, I work under really great leadership, and so we're very careful to just jump into things that's not our lane,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like the quickest mm-hmm. thing you want to do is jump out of mm-hmm. jump into other people's lane or allow creep to happen just to chase this. And we've done great in not doing that. We know what we are. It's mm-hmm. important for organizations to know what they do well and use the resources, even if it's other organizations, to try to fill those gaps if need be, right?
We're big into collaboration for sure, often. And even right now, we decided to collaborate with the Tucson Downtown Partnership for a coat drive. I reached out to you about that originally. But and we have already brought in a little more than 130 coats combined in not really that much time. And it goes for few more days, and it's just been so neat. It's definitely been a power in numbers, where they're doing some social media, we're doing some social media, but we're doing it in a collaborative way where both of our names get out there. Mm-hmm. We're both collecting coats, but it's a power in numbers, and it's going really well. And
awesome.
There's no reason to not collaborate mm-hmm. when even if you do have a similar membership base or something like that. Why not? Mm-hmm. For the good of the community.
Absolutely.
So.
And when I heard that there were so many nonprofits in Tucson compared to other cities our size, I asked myself, why is that?
Mm-hmm.
And that tells me that there are needs. There are needs in our community. And each organization has a focus, has a mission, has a vision. And it allows, there's not a positive or a negative. I think it allows people to choose where they want to put their dollars. And, you know, Tucson has that spirit and that spirit of giving. And we all flourish from that.
I love that. Well, I think we can go ahead and wrap it up. Michael and I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Business Of. Thank you to our special guests, Kate McGuire Jensen, Andy Heineman, and David Simpson. We'll upload a photo of all of us so you can put a face to our voice. And you'll be like, oh, so that's great. What they look like. And that's also on the TucsonBusinessRadioX.com website is where you can find everyone's bio and any contact information you might need so you can reach out to be involved with any of these wonderful organizations. And then please follow Tucson Metro Chamber on all of our social media channels and check out TucsonChamber.org for our upcoming events or any membership information you might need. This is Heather Woolpern and
Michael Guyman.
We look forward to sharing more about how the Tucson Metro Chamber helps Tucson businesses thrive when we host the Business Of.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
the business of an informative podcast with Heather Wilburn from the Tucson Metro Chamber can be heard here continuously on TucsonBusinessRadioX.com.